Christmas time is always a special time of year, and it's a little bit more special because on the line we have the one and only Don Mescal, who's a great friend of us here in Dublin and a good old pal of mine as well. Don, you're very welcome along into the show. How are you, my friend?
Oh, great to hear your voice, John. Yeah, really good. Thank you so much.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Christmas is almost upon us.
It is literally around the corner as we speak, but you have, I got a sneaky peek of this a little while back, but you have an incredible piece of music. The song is called Northern Star. Now, this piece of music, there's a lot in it from how it starts. So let's go back to the very start. The collaboration, the writing and the putting this all together. Where did it come from in the first place, Don?
Well, you know, I have this I have this commonly known disease as being a singer-songwriter. So I've suffered now for a long time. And look, you know, the song, I suppose it started. John really is just a little riff on the guitar and stuff. And I found that when I was, you know, I'm kind of prolific, I suppose. But I found that every time I picked up the guitar, I kept coming back to this little idea. So yeah, it was. I always look at those things, those little ideas or whatever, as a little gift, a gift from the universe.
Yeah.
I'm getting soft in my old age. But I really do, you know, I think they're ideas that are given to me and then I work a little bit on them. And sometimes the best ones are ones that I don't have to do a lot of work on. And that kind of flowed, Northern Star. And the song probably only took about maybe 20 or 25 minutes from start to finish, you know, to write.
Yeah.
Because it kind of wrote itself in a way. And that's what happens. I'm sure if you were listening and you were a painter or you were a carpenter or you were, it's all in, you're kind of in the moment, you know, and when you're making something, you're creating something. And then you're so immersed in it that nothing else kind of matters until you finish it. And then it's there. It's like a little, it's got its own little energy and it's out there in the world.
And this is the thing that when you talk about this as well, you know, a little riff and all this, that doesn't just happen like a couple of weeks ago, because you've so much to do and we'll talk about that in a second. But when did that little riff, was it during the summer? Was it the autumn? Was it earlier than that? Because, I mean, you're always picking up the guitar.
Well, it was earlier than that, John. Yeah, what I tend to do is I tend to record little ideas or little riffs, or it might even be a little melody where I don't even have the guitar in my hand or a line. And I'll normally record them into my phone, into like, we'll say a little app like Dictaphone or whatever it's called. I'm not even sure what it's called. And then at least I know that they're there. And then on the odd occasion when I might be traveling or I might be, you know, somewhere where I can concentrate, I sometimes go back through them. And I have a listen and I go, that's rubbish, and get rid of that. And then I might come across one that go, oh my God, I really like that. I wonder what that is. And it's like opening a little box and there's a gift in it. And then, of course, I'll pick up the guitar and I'll allow myself a little bit of time. And I'll go, I'll remember how I played it and then see where it goes from that point. You know, does it then become something? And does the story flow? And if it's all... if the stars collide and if everything happens, then it kind of finishes itself. I don't know if that makes any sense.
But it does. It does, because, I mean, we spoke so many times and I know you have a passion for what you do and I know you love it. And it certainly comes across in this, because tell me this. Tell me about the choir, firstly. Tell me about getting the choir involved and then the young girl, singing.
So at the next step, what happened was I was rehearsing here because I had a little performance coming up, and I had Cormac McCann on piano and James, who you have met, of course, James Shannon, had come over from the UK. He lives in Poole in Dorset. He had come over for the weekend to rehearse. And Fiona McConnell plays flute and does backing vocals in my little band. And we were all here in the church where I live. Sounds strange, I know. And we were all kind of standing around just rehearsing these songs that we had to do for this gig. And at the end of the rehearsal, we were having a coffee. And I said, look, guys, I have this kind of little song that I've just written. And might I just play it for you and see, could you get your head around it? You know, so we could record it on my phone, basically, you know, like with. And basically, they all kind of fell in love with the song. And we did a little recording of the song just live and just on the phone, you know. And that night after everybody was gone and James was staying here and all that, I was probably in bed and I listened back to it and I thought, oh, my God, this is a Christmas song. are definitely lending itself to becoming, you know, that sort of thing. And then I thought, I don't think this is me, should be me singing. I think it's a choir.
Yeah.
I think this is a children's choir. So so the following day, I reached out to somebody I had met via Drumlinia, that little festival thing that I used to organize. And one of the artists that I had picked for the Sunday or the Saturday sessions, I knew this girl, Claire Crean, and I knew she was in charge of a children's choir, young choir. So I just texted her and I just said, hey, I have this idea for, I have a song, and I wondered would it might be something that your choir might like to sing on. So I sent her the rough of it, and then she came back and said, oh my God, Don, I love it.
Yeah.
We'd be so honored to sing on this. And then I sent her the song, I sent her the lyric, and then she ran it past her people. All of a sudden, fast forward, I went to a couple of their rehearsals or their, you know, in the town hall in Cavan, and met the children and listened to them rehearsing and singing this song. And I knew then, I thought to myself, oh, sure, this is all meant to be. This is made for them.
and the kids themselves, then, you've obviously, you know, you've been chatting away with them. Did you, yes, have to give, no, correct me if I'm wrong, did you have to give them any direction? Was that all done by their choir mistress?
I suppose I would give a little direction, yeah, and stuff. And I suppose you'd find out the different kind of ranges, you know, key ranges that kids would have.
Mm.
And then with the help and the guidance of the choir master, we were able to, because there was going to be a few soloists in it, in, you know, and we held kind of auditions for soloists. We said, who would like to be a soloist? And a couple of people put up their hands, and we said, well, I'll tell you what, you have a week to learn these few lines.
Right.
And we'll hold auditions. And then the following week, they came in individually and sang the lines. And then it's hard with children because you want everybody to win, don't you? You want, you know.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you want to give everybody, but there were ones obviously that really shone, you know, they loved it and all that. And then they were picked in a really fair and it was good because even if you weren't picked, you were still in the chorus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So what I did was, just to make it even easier, I went in the following week, and I actually set up the recording studio in the town hall, you know, kind of like you with the outside broadcast, and I recorded them there doing their solo parts and the group parts, because it's a lot of children. It's 31 children, you know. So yeah. They certainly wouldn't fit in my vocal booth in the church. So when I had all of that, then myself and Miguela, my trusted engineer who you've met, we, even though he's based in the UK, we spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours sorting through all the different vocals and edits and comps and a little bit of tune and, you know, all of that kind of stuff that you do when you're making a record. And then I got Cormac in to record the piano, and James recorded the guitar, and then Angus, a great, an absolutely wonderful cello player, he'd be originally from Galway, plays with the Beautiful South. He played cello on it, and Fiona McGonagall played low whistles on it, and we put some string parts on it. Yeah, so it was, you know, it was, I suppose about a month of work, intensive work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, getting the track to where it is now.
And do you know when you come up with the lyrics, Don? Because as you say, yes, you know, singer-songwriter, you put, you know, you hear the music, you hear the riff force, and you hear the music.
Yes.
You probably hear and see things a little bit different than I would when it comes to music, like, you know. But the lyrics for it, like, tell me a little bit about the process then of writing lyrics, especially for a Christmas song, because it's not your typical. It's not a love song. It's not an angry song. It's not a song.
No.
It's a song about Christmas. So how do you do that without making it seem, for want of a better word, you don't want it too
generic,
cheesy.
Yeah.
You want it nice.
Yeah, I wanted to approach it from a sort of a, I like lyrics that are sort of left of centre. And I wanted to approach it from the point of view of, you know, at Christmas, particularly at Christmas. And this is from a personal point of view. I don't know what it is, right? But at Christmas, you can, as well as the beauty of Christmas and all of the excitement and all of that, I think Well, from a personal point of view, I find it a very lonely kind of a time. Now, I don't know that is it this the significance of it kind of being the end of the year or whatever, but I do find it a lonely time, and I can only imagine then that there are people that, maybe are on their own or maybe older and maybe have lost friends or whatever, but they might feel the same. And I've always heard that people, it can be a particularly lonely time for people. And I'm very aware of that. Now, I'm only maybe more aware of it as I've got a little bit older, but I certainly feel it. And I think it's a time where you're more aware of watching. Like, I think people are very lucky if they're, for instance, if they're surrounded by children or if they're surrounded by grandchildren, because you get to experience Christmas again like it was for you when you were young. So the excitement that you see in children's eyes and the dinner and the joke, the whole thing is beautiful. But I suppose as you get older, and maybe if you're not fortunate to have all of those people around you, then you're still kind of thinking about it, but you're not experiencing it again. So it's a past thought, and with a past thought is you have kind of loss. And it's a time of the year, I think, where particularly people think about people who aren't around anymore. And so I wanted to, I'm very interested in I suppose in humanity, John, like how we navigate through this sort of trip around the sun that we get in our little lives. And what came to me in the lyric was that that loneliness. And then I realized that there are people that are out there that are people necessarily that you might not even know, but you might be aware of, because I'm a bit of a people watcher. Now, not in a, I'm not a stalker, but I do watch people. And I wonder, I always wonder, like, if I'm in a cafe or I'm in doing the shopping or whatever, I'm more interested in people who are that little bit kind of more eccentric, and you kind of know they are. They're a little bit kind of left to center. And the idea came to me that there was this person, and he lived somebody. Now, this will make you laugh, because somebody said to me the other day when they heard the song, "Oh my God, you wrote the first verse about yourself." And I said, "No, that's not me. That's not me." Because there was a man who lived on his own, kept to himself behind the closed doors. No, it was really about people that maybe haven't found that soulmate or that partner, or and maybe they kind of feel a tiny bit left out of society, like they're not, they just don't fit in comfortably right into society. They're eccentric, or they might be, if you were from where I was from now in County Limerick, they'd probably say, "Geez, your man's a bit odd." No, they're not odd at all. They're just they're just people that are okay with their own company and stuff,
That's
and
it.
they haven't necessarily. They're not in a couple situation. They're not in a couple. They might have friends, but they're not in a couple
Only
situation.
couples.
So the first, yeah, so
But
the first
tell you what,
person's about.
hold that thought for a second. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back to you. And hold that thought for a second, because I have another little thought to go along with it. Back in a second,
Okay.
and Dom Mescal with the Christmas song Northern Star. Back in a couple of seconds after this. And we're back as well. Our guest on the show is Don Mescal. The new single is Northern Star. Don, we were talking about people, as you said, around this time of year, Christmas time, and there's a lot of reminiscing. There's a lot of there's
a
nearly a
lot of
psycho there's a
reminiscing.
nearly a psychology to it, because I was listening to what you were saying there just before we took the break.
Yes.
And we are, I won't say bombarded, but let's be honest about it. You have Christmas movies that are, there's some sort of turmoil and it all ends up lovely and everything, and it's a
Yes.
happy. A lot of things are, there are a lot of fun ones. Like, you have your Home Alone, you have your Deck the Halls. But I'm thinking of a movie, and you can class it if you want as a type. It's more Thanksgiving, but Planes, Trains,
Yes.
and Automobiles.
Yes.
Probably one of the most irritating and most and most entertaining movies ever, by the wonderful John Candy and Steve Martin. The reason I
Yes,
bring it
John
up is
Candy.
because, John Candy had it all. He was outgoing, he was this, that, and the other. But at the end of a week, and I'm not going to, just in case anybody hasn't seen
No.
the movie, I'm not going to give it away. But
Yes.
it turns out that it all is not what it seems.
No.
And it's just, but we're bombarded by those
great
emotions.
Example, John.
Isn't
yeah,
it though? It's
example.
A superb
it
movie,
really
like, you know.
It's a perfect example. And I'm going to watch that now again this Christmas. But
it's
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and but we have that. We have songs that, you know, that are soft and they're tenderness, you know, especially the Reload, the Burr Lives and the Dinos and the Frank Starchers.
Yes.
And it goes
yes.
back and you know, they tell us how lovely things are and everything.
Big Crosby, yeah.
Yeah, that's say. It, you know.
It's not the real world.
It's not the real world, no. But
and that's what I got to in the lyric. That's a great example, because there's this guy and he's keeping to himself, but he's keeping to himself. He's not keeping to himself because he doesn't like people. It's just that he finds it hard to interact, and he has a dream. Like he does have that dream about finding somebody, but what he does in the evenings is he spends his time looking into the universe, looking at stars and all of that. But really, what he's looking for his soulmate. And then in the next verse, what you have is you have a girl that's working in the supermarket. But she prefers, and I get some of this from myself. She prefers to be stacking the shelves and working in the supermarket when it's closed to the public, because she's not dealing with the public then.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves her job, and she's probably listening to her music on her headphones and all of that. And she's doing her job and she's great. And she just likes that little kind of solitude. But of course, at this time of the year, she started to think, oh my God, you know, if I was able to find that one, you know, that one sort of person that maybe thought the same as me,
yeah,
that maybe was kind, because kindness is very important, I think, in the song, because it's kind of about kindness as well. That's one thing that seems to be there seems to be short supply of that in the world at the moment, where particularly people are just kind for no reward. Do you know, like, just
yeah.
kindness?
Yeah, and
kindness
that's it.
Makes you, kindness can, I think, be a very selfish thing, because it can make you feel great about yourself when you're kind to somebody else. We should practice it more. Mm. But anyway, what happens in the song is that these two people, without even knowing, were kind of taking the same bus every day. That's the last verse. They were taking the same bus every day. But they were, because they were so kind of, not insular, but because they were quite private, and because they were, you know, and then typical of the girl, she decides to be kind. And the bus, she sees that person every day, but she saves a seat this day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And in saving the seat, that little, just that second of kindness, he looks into her eyes and he realizes that that person or that star that he's been looking for his whole life is right there in her eyes.
Mm.
And they're in that second of synchronicity, or whatever that word is.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, that's the word. Is that moment of synchronicity. All of the things that he was just looking for and all of the things that she was looking for all came together in that one little moment.
Yeah.
And they both realized it. And that's really what it is. And the comparison then is, love is brighter than the Northern Star. Like it has no boundaries. It just, that connection, that kindness, that love, that understanding is there, and it's there for all of us. And whether that be, you know, the love that you would have in a partner for the rest of your life, or just a fleeting moment when someone held the door for you and gave you a little smile, and that little smile at that moment was just the thing that you needed, because you were losing your faith in humanity, or you were losing your, you know, you'd had a terrible day.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has happened to me so many times that something beautiful will happen from a complete stranger, or somebody will say something to you or do something for you. And you think, oh my God, can I just give you one very, very quick example?
Absolutely.
Of what I think is a wonderful thing. I was performing in the UK last Tuesday, so I went over on the Monday evening, and I was on the train going to where I needed to go, and I was staying there that night. And on the train, from Gatwick or to St Pancras, the station, that's what it was as I was getting onto the train, I could see that the train, what would you call him, the train manager or whatever, the porter, is it?
Yeah, kind
of the head porter, was helping this young girl, quite a young girl, onto the train and carrying her cases. And this man would have been in his, I'm sure, 60s. And funnily enough, she was in the same carriage as me, and he brought her in, and he kind of settled her. And I was noticing, he was saying to her, "Are you okay now? I'm going to get you water." And he kept saying things like, "Listen," she was going, "Oh my God, I'm sorry for being so much trouble." And he said, "You are no trouble at all. And it's my pleasure. And I just want to make sure." Now, he said, your next stop isn't for, I suppose, 40 minutes or whatever it would have been from Gawick to. So he said, "Close your eyes now." And he said, "And try to get a bit of sleep." And he said, "And 5 minutes before we come to the station, I'll wake you up."
Wow.
So relax there now. Yeah. Everything is fine. You know, you won't be disturbed. And I'm watching this from just across the way, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this man is just like incredibly kind. And then a couple of times I saw him coming down, and she did sleep, and he just checked her, and he just made sure she was okay. And then maybe 5 or 6 minutes before we got into St. Pancras, he came over and he very gently touched her on the shoulder, and he said, "How you doing?" He said, "We're just about to come into the station now." So he said, "You have 5 minutes to kind of get," he said, "and I'm going to help you out." And he said, "and I'm going to, you know, help you out." And I just said to him as he was coming around past me, I said, "I hope you don't mind me saying so, but you're such a wonderful man." I just had to say it, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and sometimes you forget to say that, like, yeah.
And he said, "Oh, thank you so much." He said, "She came off the train from, you know, the one that, some other train or whatever."
Yeah.
"And she was unwell."
Right, yeah.
"And she was dizzy and she was that." And he said, "I just wanted to make sure that she's okay and that she made her connection and, you know, she needs to get home now and rest." And I just thought, oh my God.
Yeah, we need a bit more of that in the world, don't we?
There are people in this world that are just full of kindness. And then he said the most beautiful thing to me. He said to me, "Sure," he said, "it could have been my daughter."
There you go. And hopefully somebody else would have looked after his daughter just as much. That's the thing, isn't it?
There you go.
That's the thing.
And it's just, you know, that thing of pass it on.
Yeah, yeah,
and
oh
I
yeah.
I just think, isn't that what Christmas is all about? That's, isn't that what we are? We're all on this journey.
But we together. should do it all year round.
And we should do it all year especially round. Especially Christmas. Just help out, you know.
Listen, it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful piece of music, Northern Star. We're going to play it now in a couple of seconds. We're going to see you on the television. We can hear you here all the time, but we're going to see you on the TV this week.
Oh yeah, so I'm doing a couple of TV things actually. I'm doing the 6 o'clock show.
Right.
I think I normally do it at this time of the year anyway. And they're going to play a clip from the song, and we're going to chat about the song. And that's on Thursday. On the what would Thursday be? That would be the.
I think it's the 11th, is it?
11th.
There you are.
And it's going to have its first play, I think, on RT that morning, because I've gone on with Marty, my old buddy Marty Whelan, your buddy.
Ah, Marty's lovely chap. Lovely chap.
Marty's lovely guy.
He's a lovely
chap. And then the following week, I think I'm on with another TV show as well with Martin on the afternoon show. And I call it TV3. It's not. It's Virgin.
Virgin Media. Marimer. Oh, he won't mind.
Do you know what I mean? Isn't it terrible? I'm so.
Look, it's the way it is. Before I let you go, Don. You know, Christmas time, as you say, and you've written this beautiful song. We're going to hear it in a couple of seconds. Any Christmas wish you might have?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm. this is terribly controversial, but you know, I'm vegan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it has a mother or a face, I don't eat it. And just what I would say, be kind to your fellow human being, but really be kind to animals as well.
That's fair enough. I can't disagree with you there. Don, the song is beautiful. It's called Northern Star. We're going to play it. Thank you so much, as always, man, for taking time out. Let me wish you and all the family.
I can't wait to get back down to Waterford, John.
We're always waiting for you. You know the door is always open for you.
Yeah, you know. I'm going to come down to Waterford in the new year and just do a little, even if it's a solo gig, and just purely from a selfish point of view, I just want to meet my friends that are down there.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough for me. Listen, whatever you do, man, have a lovely Christmas, won't you?
Thank you so much.
And mind yourself and all, as I said,
and I'd
all
like
your
to wish, I wish happy Christmas to all my friends and people that I know in Waterford, because Waterford honestly has such a warm place in my heart.
Don, couldn't have said it better. Thanks very much, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye. There was a man, lived on his own, kept to himself.